Sour on Twin Cities News Talk is presented by Sandvold Financial Group.
One step beyond. Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Hour 2 of this Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. I'm Drew, that's John Justice. In there is the lovely, talented, and radiant Samantha, who basically just tried to kick me in the face.
That's not true. If I tried to kick you in the face, you would have been kicked in the face.
I will say, though, man, that was impressive.
I'm terrified. That kick was,
I mean, was like above your head. It's like, wow.
You guys are so easy to impress.
Yeah, well, that was...
I'm not impressed. I'm terrified.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Well, you got to explain why I was almost kicking you in the face.
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay.
Drew tried to roundhouse kick you. You were like, you want to see a roundhouse kick.
I was just making a little joke about how I am terrible at the kicking part of the kickboxing thing that I've been doing. I was making a funny little joke.
He like tried to pull a roundhouse kick.
No, I didn't.
It didn't go higher than my shins.
I was joking about how if I'm lucky, I might be able to kick you in the thigh.
And then I kicked over his head.
And then she kicked me in the face.
It's not what happened.
651-989-5855. Do you have the short Klobuchar clip handy, Sam? If you can pull that up. We have a couple of different audio clips. We have the lengthier ones, and we'll play them in their entirety. They're a couple minutes each. But highlights from the Gorsuch confirmation hearings yesterday. Drew put up a post to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com on our page. But it wasn't just Frank and Klobuchar. I mean, there were plenty of individuals during that, and we have a list here, during those confirmation hearings that just made themselves out to be idiots. We're obviously focusing on Klobuchar and Franken because, you know, we have special fondness for them. But do you have the Klobuchar clip, Sam?
I have a Klobuchar clip.
All right, go for it.
Okay.
I do think it's important to try and understand law according to its original understanding, public meaning. Words have meaning.
So you don't agree with McCulloch about adapting to the crisis of human affairs?
No, Senator.
So you do agree.
I'm trying to answer the question.
I just want a yes or no, that's all.
Well, I think it takes, these are complicated things that take more than a yes or no, respectfully. And what I would say is the Constitution doesn't change. The world around us changes. And we have to understand the Constitution and apply it in light of our current circumstances. That's what we're trying to do as judges. So, for example, one of my favorite cases in this area is Jones, right? Supreme Court of the United States is faced with a GPS tracking device attached by the police.
Klobuchar's checked out right now.
Oh, yeah.
She's totally checked out.
Eyes are just glazed over.
I don't know what he's talking about.
And found that would have qualified as a trespass to chattels. A search by the government, and says if that would have been offensive 200 years ago, that sort of thing, it has to be offensive now. The Constitution is no less protective of the people's liberties now than it was 200 years
ago. So when the Constitution refers like 30 some times to his or he when describing the President of the United States, you would see that as, well, back then they actually thought a woman could be president even though women couldn't vote?
No!
Senator, I'm not looking to take us back to quill pens and horses.
But just if you could answer that question.
I just want to know.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
Of course women can be president of the United States.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm the father
That's
of
an
two
actual
daughters,
question that was asked.
One of them turns out to be president.
Okay,
of
that's
States.
Wonderful. How about like that?
I love when she's like, okay, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Well, you didn't play into my narrative.
It's important to me because I just read the Constitution for the first time, and so I saw that. I was very concerned.
There's a lot of interesting stuff in here. You should check it out.
And since you're going to be like potentially on the Supreme Court, which I've been told it's a really big deal. I think we should know whether or not you acknowledge women. No, not a woman. I just, what? Ah.
I was stunned that that exchange actually took place yesterday, that she actually found some strain of logic in her feeble little mind to come up with that question for a potential Supreme Court nominee.
Well, and for the confirmation hearings, it was really clear. When you look at a list of what was asked to him on a number of different issues, you know, he was asked about his rulings on, you know, on abortion, Trump's travel ban. He was, Gorsuch was consistent in showing that, look, I'm going to abide by the law.
Right. You guys make the law.
Right.
And then when I am presented with it, I will abide by it. And if the law is bad, that's on you guys to change the law.
And the line of questioning was very indicative of the fact that they didn't have anything to go on because so many Democrats had supported him before. And so that's why they ended up going down the road that they had gone down.
We're joined now by a friend of the show and lawyer extraordinaire Jeffrey O'Brien. Good morning, sir.
Morning, guys.
Did you get a chance to watch much of the hearings yesterday or get caught up on it later in the day?
I watched the longer clips of it, particularly of our two senators last evening. So, yeah, so I would say that I'm pretty up to speed as to what transpired yesterday.
Now, Sam, you've got the clip with Franken and Gorsuch when he was asking about the frozen trucker case. Can you play that?
Senator, a couple of things in response to that, if I might. Going back, the absurdity doctrine argument was never presented to the court, and it usually applies in cases where there's a Scrivener's error, not when we just disagree with the policy of the statute. So I appreciate the opportunity to respond there.
What happened here, the references, there was this called the frozen trucker case where a guy was, and Franken spent a long time setting this whole thing up, where a guy was essentially let go from his job when he made the decision to leave his trailer because conditions were cold and there was some malfunctioning going on, and he sued because he lost his job, and the court that Gorsuch was on sided with the plaintiff, not the company, and Gorsuch was the only dissenting vote, and Franken was basically saying that, you know, you were applying the plain language rule of the law to this case. However, you are allowed to make an exception when the plain language would lead to what Franken called an absurd outcome. And he was saying that a questioning Gorsuch's judgment because he did not apply that absurdity outcome, that absurdity doctrine to this particular case. And then and that was Gorsuch's response, where he says, you know, first of all, it was never presented to the court for us to consider. And secondly, it's usually only applied when there is a what he called a Scrivener's error. And Franken had no idea what that was, clearly, when it was presented to him. Jeff, can you explain what Gorsuch was meant by that?
Well, I mean, a Scrivener's error is just, you know, we lawyers call, you know, a typo. So what he's saying is, what Judge Gorsuch is saying is that this exception to the plain meaning rule is, if there is, you know, if there's something that's incorrect in a statute, if there's a typo, basically, or the wrong word, that would produce an absurd result if it was read by, you know, if you took the plain meaning of the law, then you don't apply it that way. And so he's talking about basically if someone uses, you know, made a mistake in writing the law, and it happens sometimes,
mm-hmm.
That you would not enforce that law because it would produce an absurd result. So that's what he's getting at. And I saw, you know, Senator Franken had almost a blank look on his face when he had to ask him clarify what he said about a Scrivener's error. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think for some of us think that Senator Franken is in office because of a Scrivener's error. But,
yeah. You could make that argument.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just, I watched, you know, his whole back and forth. I don't know what he was, I mean, other than grandstanding and he's thinking about running for president in 2020, I don't know what he was trying to accomplish. And I thought Judge Gorsuch, regardless of who the questioner was, did a very good job and is exactly the type of judge we want.
Yeah.
Because he said, it doesn't matter who appointed me. I you know, I'm going to disagree with both sides. I'm not going to comment on political issues. I mean, Senator Franken tried over and over and over again to get him to comment on political issues. And, you know, it was Merrick Garland treated fairly. And, you know, you know, got into marriage equality, and you know, and it was hard to watch.
It was. It was really tough to watch the Franken exchange. Can you hang on with us for a moment and
absolutely.
Got some more questions for you on the other side.
And what we'll do coming up is we'll play that we'll play the rest of that clip, because you got to hear when Franken gets flustered, when he doesn't get the answer from Gorsuch that he wants, and you can just dismisses him and then actually acknowledges the fact that he dismissed him. We'll talk more with lawyer extraordinaire Jeffrey O'Brien next on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
But the plain meaning rule has an exception when using. The plain meaning rule would create an absurd result. Courts should depart from the plain meaning. It is absurd to say this company is in its rights to fire him because he made the choice of possibly dying from freezing to death or causing other people to die possibly by driving an unsafe vehicle. That's absurd. Now, I had a career in identifying absurdity. And I know it when I see it. And it makes me, you know...
Apparently it doesn't.
It makes me question your judgment.
Oh, shut up.
Legal and constitutional expert Senator Al Franken yesterday questioning Neil Gorsuch during the confirmation hearings. Just an embarrassing display. You can see all the videos and highlights on the Justice and Drew show page. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. We are joined by lawyer extraordinaire, friend of the show, Jeffrey O'Brien. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for spending some time with us. So let's talk about this case just for a moment here that was being referenced. This is one of the sort of prime talking points amongst Democrats when trying to find justification for opposing Gorsuch is this quote-unquote for frozen trucker case where this guy was let go from his job because he made the decision to abandon his trailer during freezing conditions. Happened, I believe, here in Minnesota. And he questioned the firing, sued the company, saying it was wrongful termination. And the court actually decided on his behalf, with Gorsuch being the only dissenter.
So just real quick, Jeff, the details on this. So the guy was driving the truck. He pulled over to the side of the road, freezing temperatures outside. The brakes had frozen on the trailer that he was towing. And so he was concerned about driving any further because the brakes weren't working. And it turns out that actually the heating inside the vehicle wasn't working either. So there were all these malfunctioning things happening with his vehicle. It was still drivable, but he was concerned about driving it because of the freezing conditions. And originally, my understanding was the company had told him, hey, leave the brakes, because the brakes were frozen in place. Leave the brakes and basically drag the trailer. And so he decided, no, he wasn't going to go and operate the vehicle. And he kept waiting to get a response from the company. And he waited for like an hour, and they told him to stay there. They waited for like another hour. They told him to stay there. He finally made the decision to detach the truck from the trailer itself and then try to go and seek himself help. The rules of the company stated that if he refused to operate a vehicle, then he was violating company policy. And so if he refused to operate, not operate. So he decided to go and operate. So the Gorsuch ruling basically came down, and he was the lone dissenting voice and said, look, the law states that the company itself was justified in firing him because that's the rule. The rule was refusal to operate a vehicle, not refusal to go and drive a vehicle. And he was coming down strictly on the law, and that's where they were trying to go and trip him up.
Right.
He even starts his dissent, and I love the way he starts his dissent. He writes, it might be fair to ask whether this decision was a wise or a kind one, but it's not our job to answer questions like that. And that is that's an approach to the law that I really respect and I think is very valuable.
I do too. And if you recall from the night that he was introduced, he said that a judge that thinks every one of their decisions is a good decision isn't a good judge.
Yeah,
I think it was the Republican senator from North Carolina. Yes, I forget what his name is. Said, you know, you tend to make both sides mad, and I like that about you. That's the way the law works. The law sometimes isn't fair. in terms of what the result is. There's a lot of times that I deal with it in my practice, where you have a result that the law provides that is it basically means your client gets screwed,
mm-hmm.
and that's tough, but that's. This is why you have guys like this philosophy of the law is the law is the law and you have to follow it is because you have to have some sort of standards. Otherwise, we don't. We're no longer the rule of law. We're the rule of man, and that's a dangerous slope to slide down.
Well, one of the unfortunate things along the line of questioning was that they were acting like Klobuchar and Franken, and we'll have more audio of that coming up in a moment. But Klobuchar and Franken were acting like he was going to be the only person on the Supreme Court. The way they were framing the questions was like there wasn't going to be other individuals on the Supreme Court that would also be a part of the decision making process. And what I like about Gorsuch is even if you're not a fan of his style and how he would serve, this would be very refreshing to have this type of voice on our Supreme Court.
It's essentially a replacement of a voice that we lost,
right,
with Justice Scalia. And yeah, I mean these hearings are going to me are at this point a lot of political grandstanding for the party not in the White House. And the reason I say that is I don't think at the end of the day, and I know you talked about this earlier on the show before I was on, about whether or not the Democrats are going to filibuster this nomination. I know that Republican Party is often referred to as the stupid party. If the Democrats go there, I think they take the trophy because we're trading out one conservative originalist jurist for another. And if they force the Republicans into the nuclear option, as everybody calls it, and doing away with the filibuster rule for Supreme Court justices, they're staring down the barrel of Justice Kennedy retiring. If Justice Ginsburg has a health issue and she decides to retire or something happens, and now they've lowered the bar as to how you could get another one of President Trump's nominees through the Senate for future ones where it will change the balance of the court. So at the end of the day, I think that a lot of what Senator Frank and Senator Klobuchar and the others are doing are simply getting their shots in, positioning themselves amongst their supporters as just not letting this one go through, knowing that they're not going to pull the trigger on a filibuster and go to the and force Republicans into the nuclear option. So this is really, in my opinion, much ado about nothing.
It is. It's grandstanding. It's theatrics. Neither Klobuchar nor Franken at any point, and we've got some more audio that we're going to play on the other side of this upcoming break. Neither of them cared particularly about his answers. They were only putting those questions out there for the record. It was a for the record kind of moment, like, okay, now I can say that I asked these questions and now we've got the sound bites of me asking these tough questions. We don't care what his response is. We've already made up our mind on how we're going to vote on this guy.
Exactly. And that's, again, this political ramification of this. Senator Franken's being rumored as the perfect candidate against President Trump in 2020. He's positioning himself. He's obviously reading his own press and positioning himself that Senator Klobuchar has a reelection bid here in Minnesota next year. She's trying to make sure she wants to stave off any challenge from the lunatic fringe of her party. So they're going to play to their base in these questions and in these hearings and vote no. But the thing is, at the end of the day, I think there's 10 Democratic senators in states that went for President Trump in large margins. And I think they're going to end up being the margin of difference. Even if the Democrats in the Senate, the leadership decided to go with the filibuster, I think that there will be some Democrat votes going over to approve Judge Gorsuch. I mean, the American Bar Association has found him qualified. They aren't exactly a conservative mouthpiece.
No.
Right. Jeffrey O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate your perspective.
Thanks,
coming up, the badgering by Franken was embarrassing. We'll play you some more audio from that. Plus, we'll give you an update on the Edina Google search. The police department requests some residents upset over the search warrant of computers. There was a council meeting last night. We'll have the details coming up on Justice.